What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Self-Helpless. I'm Kelsey Cook.
I'm Delaney Fisher.
And today, man, I'm so excited to have this guest on.
Oh my gosh, I'm shaking into my boots.
We are so excited because we're joined by Nikki Boyer, who is the co-host of the podcast Dying for Sex.
Like the top podcast in the world. Like, no big deal.
It's blowing up. It's pretty incredible. It's the journey of her best friend, Molly, who was diagnosed with terminal cancer, and kind of what she did to liberate herself sexually after getting that information.
Oh my God.
So it's following her on these crazy like sexcapades.
Wow.
After knowing that she only has a certain amount of time left to live. And it pulls you in.
Yeah.
I listened to every episode of it. Last night in preparation to have Nikki on, and I'm like just dying for, well, I say dying for the next episode of Dying for Sex, but yeah, it's really, really fantastic.
So cool. I can't wait to talk to her.
Yeah. So we are going to get into our interview with Nikki in a second, but we want to let you guys know that our live stream Q&A on Patreon is in 1 week. March 16th at 6 p.m.
Pacific Standard Time.
Pacific Standard Time. You guys are going to get the chance to, for an hour, just ask
anything.
Anything. To me, Taylor, Delaney. We're going to be huddled around our webcam talking to you guys on Patreon, and you get to fire away for an hour.
Yeah.
So if you want in on that, you got to sign up before March 16th because it's happening then, and then that's it.
Yeah.
So patreon.com/selfhelpless.
Yes. It's going to be fun. We're going to do it at one of our apartments, cozying up on the couch with a laptop. It'll be quite fun.
It's going to be a great time. And without further ado, here's our interview with Nikki Boyer. All right, you guys, we're so happy to be joined by Nikki Boyer. She's the former host of Yahoo's Daytime and No Time, which received millions of hits per day. She's also the former co-host of Watch This on the TV Guide channel and is now the host of the new podcast, Dying for Sex. Just a quick synopsis, like we talked about in the intro, when host Nikki's best friend Molly is diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer, she decides to do something bold. Dying for Sex shares the details of Molly's hilarious escapades and a story about friendship, death, and what you do with the time you have left. So, without further ado, hey, welcome Nikki Boyer.
Nikki. Hi. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for being here.
Are you kidding?
Thank you for having me.
I'm excited. We're all equally excited.
Yeah.
Good. It's strange because I'm all caught up now on Dying for Sex. So I've had your voice in my ears for like the last 4 hours straight, and now you're here in person.
Is that weird?
Podcast effect of like attaching a voice to a face.
And I get the same thing. Do I look like what you thought I would?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Good.
You have like a beautiful speaking voice, and you're beautiful in person.
Oh, yeah, that's gorgeous.
All beautiful.
Do you ever hate when someone like disappoints you? Yeah. And you're like, I didn't picture you. Yeah. Can we go back to what's in my head?
Yeah. Stick with the audio.
That Men in Black flashlight. Like, I'm like, just I don't want to remember what you actually look like. Yeah. So I have been loving the podcast, and as of right now, when we're recording it with you, there are 4 episodes out, and there are going to be 6 total.
Yes, total. Yeah.
Okay.
It's like a little mini series.
It's. I've never listened to any show like this.
Really?
Where, I mean, the dynamic that you two have being best friends of over 20 years and the way, I mean, Molly is so
rad.
Brave.
Like,
and
isn't
rad.
She just what rad? A like, can we say the word rad?
Oh,
I
yeah.
A little dated. Let's
hashtag
bring it back.
Rad. Yes, I'm down. Let's bring
dope?
It back. Yeah, we say dope a lot.
Radical. Yeah.
Yeah, she is so fearless in the face of death and cancer, and I have loved how in detail she goes with these crazy sexcapades.
She
and
goes there, right?
She really goes there. We talk a lot about sex on Self-Helpless, but so she left her marriage, which she felt like she wasn't being really sexually fulfilled in, and realized like, okay, I've got this finite amount of time left. I want to use it to the full potential. And so she goes out and I don't want to give like too many spoilers for people who haven't listened to their show yet, but like some of these things, I mean, the sexual fetishes that like you hear about, but I haven't really heard about somebody's experience engaging with them, but like a guy who's like fetish is getting kicked in the nuts.
Right.
And like stomped on his nose.
Can you think of anything more awful? Right? That's a fetish.
Yeah. I don't. Right. How is he not hospitalized?
Exactly. How do you get a hard on after that?
I don't. Yeah.
How is that?
Because of it.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, like, why are you hard right now? This is crazy. So, so many interesting tales. What has been your favorite moment so far of doing this podcast with Molly?
You know, honestly, you know how when you have your best friend and then your lives get really busy and she's navigating, you know, was navigating cancer and I was navigating my boyfriend and his children and life and work. And we got really busy and we still saw each other quite a bit. But when you work on a project together, you have that excuse of like, we have to get together. We have to work.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Right? I know that.
Totally
very
get it.
Well.
Of course
yes.
you guys.
Yes.
You guys know that. So what I really loved about it was getting together and just sitting and talking and working and laughing and taking notes and kind of keeping a Rolodex like back in the olden days. Remember the Rolodexes? Like keeping the Rolodex of all these experiences that she had. And that was really fun for me to kind of just sit across from her and ask the million questions that I asked her, which was like, wait. And you know what? There were so many that I actually forgot about some of them. So when we were recording the podcast, I felt like I was hearing them fresh again because I forgot. I couldn't keep track. You know what I mean?
So
like,
many.
I couldn't remember too many.
There's so many. I was very impressed by her ability.
It was a very tiny sliver of the escapades included in the podcast, but we couldn't get to all of them. I mean, there were so many more that I can't wait to like get into, right?
Yeah. Well, what's one that kind of like didn't make it to the podcast but is a very memorable sexcapade to you?
So there was a gentleman that she was fooling around with, and his job was very interesting, and I didn't realize what it was until I arrived to her house one day, and she was like in a little like I don't know, like a little lingerie thingy, not like lingerie, like
camisole?
A nightie. Is that what
that's
called?
Yeah,
I wear sweatpants and a t-shirt.
Oh, yeah.
So like, what do you call that
like
thing?
A nightgown?
Like a little sexy nightie. It was black. Yeah. And she came to the door and she had like all this smeared makeup down the side of her face. It was like red and yellow and white and blue. And I was like, where have you been? And she's like, oh, I was totally fucking around with a clown.
What? I thought that's what you were about to say, but I'm like, no, that's not going to be
it. And I was like,
it.
What? And she's like, yeah, he's a clown. And I was like, in real life? She's like, yeah. And I was like, and then the weird thing is that we got so used to this that I didn't even dig any deeper. I was like, oh, okay, so how's your day? Like, it just kind of like passed
need.
Him. Right?
That's all.
Yeah.
And they fucked while he was in the clown makeup.
Full on garb. Wow. That's commitment.
Yeah. There were lots of fetishes. Lots of guys that wanted to be you know, sort of do the dominatrix things. Guys that wanted to be her quote-unquote sex slave is what they called it.
Oh, okay.
Where you, like, live with the person and take care of them and you are limited to the amount of time you can eat or drink or use the restroom, like wow. literally like
total domination,
like total yeah. domination, and which she wasn't really into, but she was fascinated by it and asked yeah. a lot of questions, but she didn't do it. She considered it with one guy, and it's because he was really hot. Like, I was like, would you want him living in your house if he wasn't that hot? And she's like, oh, hell no. But so some of those things didn't make it into the podcast, but there are so many. But you know what you said earlier? So brave. And what I want to sort of shine the light on is it's not just about sex, right? Like yeah. this was her vehicle to feel alive. It was her antithesis to death. And we dig in the podcast in episode 5 and 6, where you kind of start to realize the why of it, which I think is just as fascinating yeah. as the how of it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, it's about dealing with some of the adversity in her life, dealing with some old wounds, healing some stuff. And she gets really clear about why she uses that vehicle, which I think is just as interesting. But
oh yeah, yeah. Like, I'm so excited for episode 5 and 6.
Thank you.
I also appreciate how just like non-judgmental she was, and I wonder, do you feel like she was that non-judgmental about sex prior to her diagnosis?
About the sex, I don't think so. I think about human beings and just the way we all function and our downfalls. Like, she was very non-judgmental about people's baggage.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Like, she was just always that person. Like, I'd come to her and be like, can you believe she did this, this, and this? And she's like, well, have you looked at it from this point of view? And I'd always be like, oh, no, I didn't. She was really good at, like, she's like a therapy mind. Like, she's got yeah. that kind of brain that works like a therapist. And so she was great at looking at other perspectives and reframing things. But I don't think she was really that way in her sex life. And I yeah. think when the terminal diagnosis came, it just, she just said, I started to give so many less fucks.
Yeah.
I was fine in my body. I wanted to share. I wanted to move my line in the sand that I had drawn. I do think that the cancer diagnosis had a lot to do with kind of her non-judgment yeah. of people's fetishes.
Right.
I mean, you can hear me. I'm pretty judgy.
Well, that's
I don't mean to be.
No, I liked it though, because you both were representing contrast. Two completely different right. points of view on it. And yeah. I definitely was falling into the category more. I mean, there's a part where like pee play gets involved, right? Which is, again, to hear it in that graphic detail of like what that situation actually looked like for somebody involved mm-hmm. in that sort of a fetish. And to hear you be like, you were so honest. You're like, I mean, I'm trying not to be judgmental, but I'm kind of feeling a little judgmental right now because it's just exactly. so outside of your personal comfort zone.
Yeah, and I used to think that I'm kinky.
I'm
I like
freak.
Stuff. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now I'm like, I'm the prude in the relationship. Well, yeah. I'm like, what happened?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because yeah. then it's that scope opens up. You're like, wow, there's so much more out there than yeah. I even realized. But
I was going to say, it's obvious you guys have so much fun on the show, so many hilarious moments. I'd imagine with the hilarity and those moments, there's also some bittersweet in there, totally. Right? And so what's the hardest part about doing the show with Molly, and like, how do you guys cope and manage that?
That is an awesome question. Thank you for asking it, because part of our coping mechanism is laughter and being silly and a little bit dark. We go there, mm-hmm. right? But it's been really difficult, because when we were recording the podcast, her health was really bad at times. So there were many times we'd be on the way to the recording studio and we just couldn't make it there because she was so ill. Oh. So we'd have to turn back and, you know, wait for her to get her energy back. And the thing with Molly and her cancer, she really knew her body very well. So she knew if she was taking a cocktail of meds, how much time she had between when she took the meds and when it would just completely like kind of decimate her.
Wow.
So she had this barometer. She knew how to navigate that. But as the meds got worse and the illness gets worse, she started to lose a little bit of the ability to determine when she was going to be okay and when she mm-hmm. wasn't. And that's part of it. And it was really yeah. hard. There were many, I mean, we were either, you know, like we say this in the podcast, like we're either on the bathroom floor trying to find the perfect selfie and trying to like angle her body a certain way, or she was on the bathroom floor because she just could not get her body up. So yeah. there was no middle ground with her. It was one or the other. And so yeah.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Yeah, it was interesting. It's been an interesting journey with her to kind of navigate the lows and the intimacy that you have as a friend and a caretaker. I mean, I'm not taking care of her, but yeah. In a way I feel like that was my role.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, certainly like emotionally to have that best friend and, you know, you're talking about going to meet her in the ER for things. Yeah. It's like
but I have to say every time I like meet, like going to the ER and seeing her, like I was, my drive's there. I would always feel like, oh my God, my stomach. Oh my God, is she going to be okay? And as soon as I walk in, she's like, hey.
Yeah.
Like the best way of just saying, okay, this is my new normal. How do I make the best of it?
Yeah.
So not only is she brave and like really non-judgmental, she's just kind of a badass.
I know. Yeah. I love her dark sense of humor. I've laughed so many times. Like when she talks about setting up a Tinder profile or Bumble profile for the first time, and that her opening thing is like, well, if you're a commitment phobe, like I'm the girl for you, I'm not gonna be around for that long, so like just shit like words like that's so, I mean, hard to even wrap your head around,
right?
Joking about your own mortality in that way, or like I think at one point you're like, are you ever afraid of these dudes that you're just inviting over to your house that you just met? And she's like, what are they gonna do, kill me? Already dying.
So I'm like,
God damn. Yeah. I mean, it's so funny and dark, and she
goes
pretty amazing.
You love it and you get it. I like, you know, we record these, you don't ever know if it's how it's gonna land. You just put it out there. And Wondery has been amazing at sort of crafting the story and finding places to let it breathe and places to add like the nuance of Molly's full life. And I think that if it's resonating with you, I think the question is like, what are you dying for, right?
Yeah.
What are you craving in your life? What do you want to, I mean, I guess a better way to phrase it is, what are you living for? Like what have you been putting off? And it doesn't have to be grand, and it doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to be sex. It's just, but what is that for everybody?
Yeah. Ooh, what are you lacking?
How has this impacted you? I mean, how has this changed the way that you live? Yeah. And, you know, like, because I feel like part of us, we never think it's going to happen to us or our best friend, right? And when it does, I'm sure it just shifts everything into a different, you know, perspective.
Yeah.
And what's like the biggest takeaway from this experience? Like, has it changed your day to day or how you think about things? Have you gone after certain things that you may have were kind of putting on the back burner?
I just urinate on everyone. That's what I was hoping for. I just walk into a room and I just start peeing on people.
It's like a tiny chihuahua just like lifting your leg on people. What's up, bro?
Well, I'm here. I've arrived.
You know, it's funny. You said something like, has it changed my day to day? I would like to say that it has changed my day to day, but it hasn't, because I'm still anxious. I still deal with bullshit. I still have like two-step kids to take care of and schedule and driving. But what I do sometimes that I didn't do before is I just stop and I get really mindful. Mm. She's really good at being that way. Cancer or no cancer, but like stopping and just being super present in the moment, looking around. Like when I walked into your studio, I was like, I don't know if I would have done that before. Like,
oh, interesting.
Right?
Yeah.
Like before doing this podcast with Molly. Like I just walked in and I was like, oh my God, this is a great room. And look at their energy and their beautiful faces. Like just really being mindful and present to things that maybe I would have glazed over and been on autopilot before. I don't know if that makes sense. Yeah. I don't know if that sounds airy-fairy, but I really do.
No, that makes sense.
Kind of tune in a little bit more, because these moments are fleeting.
Right.
And they go by so fast.
Right.
Are you, only if you're comfortable talking about it, do you feel like you have become more sexually liberated listening to her stories? Has it made you feel like you want to kind of push your own boundaries? Yes.
Well, yeah. Yeah. And my partner and I, my partner, he's my boyfriend. When I say my boyfriend, I sound 12.
Right.
If I say my partner, you assume that it's a woman. And if I say my husband, that's a lie. Right. So, like, I don't know what to call him.
This dude, my man friend.
Gosh. But we've been together for 11 years, and we have a really good sex life.
Yeah.
But I have to say, it sort of opened up the conversation, and the conversation then opens up, like, the possibilities. So it's definitely spiced things up a little bit and made me go, it makes your barometer kind of change. You're like, oh, well, why wouldn't we try that? Or why wouldn't we? You know, one thing that's kind of interesting to me, and he'd kill me if he knew I was saying this on the podcast right now. So don't tell
Whatever.
Yeah. Whatever. Is that I'm kind of fascinated now in the world of observing and watching.
Oh.
And, okay, what do you think about that?
Voyeurism and stuff like that?
That thing. Like, just, I don't want to be in the room. I just want to, like, look through a peephole and, like, kind of observe real normal. Now, I may gag and be like, get me out of here. No hell. No way.
Sure.
Or I might be like, this is interesting, but I'd like the opportunity to see how I feel.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, interesting.
What about you too?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think it depends heavily on who you're watching.
Right.
A lot of people I definitely don't want to see their parts bumping. Yeah. But certain people, I mean, I feel like people say that jokingly all the time, like really hot celebrity couples. Like you look at like Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively. Right. I'm always like, I would pay so much money to watch them fuck. Oh my God. Like, can't they come out with a celebrity sex tape? So the difference between that.
Right.
I mean, porn is like voyeurism in a certain way, so removed. But like actually in person being able, I think that'd be super hot if it was like a hot couple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say no to the opportunity. Okay. I feel like I'm pretty open to stuff, and I'll try most things once.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean,
why not?
I mean, I might have to stop with the, like, at the pee play. I'm not into that. I don't think I can get there, but I'm pretty open to certain, other stuff.
Yeah, I get that.
But yeah, I don't know.
It just kind of makes you think about things in a different way, and that's what I love about this podcast. Like, my mom listens to it, and I was like, what do you think? And she's like, I think it's amazing. Mm. Like, I love it. And I was like, well, what about it? And she's like, not necessarily the details of it, but like, what's your too much? Or what's your, like, what's your version of Molly's pee play? Like, is that too much for you? Like, I know where my line is.
Yeah.
Right. And Molly's line was different. And I have got a little, like, you know, a little flack from, like, kind of being like not fetish positive on the podcast, like saying things like ew and right. But you know what? I'm representing the other folks.
Right.
I'm not against it. That's just my initial reaction. And then maybe if I learn more about it, I'll go, and I still may dry heave. You never know.
Right.
But like my mind has been expanded, I guess you can say.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead. I was going to say, you know, it's so cool that your mom is on board and loves the show. Mm-hmm. How does Molly's family feel about this show? Because this is probably laying so much out there.
Yeah.
You know, and
Molly's family is very supportive. Yeah.
That's great.
Molly's mom and dad and cousins and aunts and uncles think, like, they just love that she's showing up this way because it's just authentically her.
Yeah.
And it's one thing to say to someone who's going through maybe a divorce or a job change, like, are you sure that's what you want to do with your time? How do you say to somebody who's terminally ill?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you sure that's what you want to do? Like, you don't.
Right.
She gets to call the shots.
Yeah.
She gets to do what she wants to do. And what's so amazing is that if you listen, she's self-deprecating. She doesn't have it all figured out. She's trying to process it as she goes. And I think that's really important is that it's a process. And you get to listen to her, have her process, which I think is really fun.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, you know, you're talking about like gagging, hearing certain things. I have a joke where I talk about that I found out one of my friend's fetishes with her boyfriend, and this is a friend I like never guessed would do anything remotely risque, is that he would, instead of frosting, he would like come on a cupcake and then she'd eat the cupcake. And, you know, my joke is like making fun of her. And do I like... am I genuinely trying to make anybody feel badly for doing those things? Absolutely not. But I have gotten like a couple comments on like the video on Instagram of people making me feel like I'm not being sex positive enough to not embrace this. And it's like, it's not that I'm not embracing this. It's fucking silly.
You.
She's eating cupcakes. Come on. I can't. Oh, you think I'm going to hear that and not try and make a joke about it on stage? I'm not trying to shame anybody. It's just like... it was pretty fucking weird and funny. And so anyway, it's just, that's why I've appreciated you being like, wow, Molly is so open-minded and it's showing you this other spectrum of stuff happening that you
don't
even
know. Reaction may sound judgy, but overall it's not from a judgment place. It's from like a reaction of like, guess what? That's not for me. It doesn't have to be, not everybody needs to have urination in their mouth and come on a cupcake. Not everybody needs that.
Yeah.
And good for them for liking it.
So there's like an ear nibble here and there, you know? So it's like...
And you guys talked about the whole foot fetish thing, where that comes from. And I've done Dr. Drew's show a couple times and just had him on my foosball web series. And that was one of the questions I asked him, too, like, where does the foot fetish thing come from? And it's just, I really love how open and honest you guys are about exploring all different aspects of sexuality.
Thanks for saying that.
Yeah. So we have, there's six episodes.
Yeah.
At the end of episode six, what is one thing that you want people to walk away from this podcast thinking?
It goes back to time being so incredibly precious, and that's such a nice little thing to like embroider on a pillow or put on your, you know, wall.
Yeah.
But to really implement that into your day-to-day life, mm-hmm. of time is so valuable, and you get to decide. Like, that's my favorite thing about life. It's like, yeah. You get to a certain age, right, where you get old enough where you go, oh, I don't have to do everything. I don't have to do all. I mean, I have to go to work and I have to do certain things, but like, I don't have to do everything that people ask me to do. And there's some power in really getting clear about what you want to do with the time that you have left. And if you think about it, we're all dying. Yeah. It's so morbid, but
Important to be reminded of, though.
We all are on the journey to whatever the end looks like for us.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds morbid, but I mean it to sound like we just don't know how much time there is. And I think sometimes movies and TV shows and photographs can remind us of those things. And so I hope at the end of this, everybody just sort of looks at their own life and says, like, how do I sort of absorb some of what Molly did and does in her life, and how do I do that for myself? Like, how do I show up in that way?
Yeah.
Not like a what would Molly do, because she clearly do things you wouldn't do.
I want that bracelet, WWMD. Yeah. Right? She my new Jesus.
Which is a picture of a clown on it. Yeah.
Like a real
daily reminder.
Yeah, it's a great, at the end of this, I just hope everybody, and I hope everybody just really appreciates Molly opening up and exposing herself and making her journey something that can kind of have a ripple effect. That's really beautiful.
Yeah. I appreciate you talking about that in the intro every time, because Molly's like, I have a terminal diagnosis. Mm-hmm. I can't remember exactly how she phrases it, but it comes down to, like, you're like, well, we're all dying.
Yeah. She's like, basically, I'm dying. And I say, we all are.
She says,
I'm just a lot faster than most people.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's like, it makes you realize that even though maybe you feel like you don't have some sort of medical diagnosis where you can see the finish line sooner, mm-hmm. it's a good reminder, like, well, everybody does have a finish line, though. Mm-hmm. So all these brave decisions that she's making to live her life to the fullest, it's like, well, why wouldn't we all be choosing to do that?
Right.
We should live like that. We should do those things.
If there's something you need, go get it. If it's an apology or a connection with someone, go get it. Like, what are you waiting for? If you hate your job and you want to try something new, like, what needs to happen in order for you to treat your life the way you deserve to treat it? Like, what needs to happen? And for Molly, you know, I think she was living pretty fully, but a terminal diagnosis definitely kicked things up a notch. And I just, you know, it would just be really interesting to sit and kind of think about that and just go, what if I got a call tomorrow that said, you know, you have 5 years left. What would I do with those 5 years? And why am I not doing that now? Like, why am I waiting?
Exactly.
Anyway, I get all like on my high horse, but
it's
for me too, to remind myself, like, what?
Yeah.
I know what I want to do. I want to go move to Puerto Vallarta and live on the beach. Why am I not doing that?
Right, exactly.
Because I'm not a trust fund baby. That's right. And as soon as I get some money, that's
what's happening. Yeah, got to kick life in the balls, baby.
I was gonna ask. You have been friends 20 plus years, right?
Yeah.
Best friends. Was there anything that she revealed or said that surprised you? Like, oh my gosh, I didn't know that about you, and you're my best friend forever. Any kind of moment like that?
Yeah, I don't know if it's on the podcast. I'm trying to think. That's a good one. Ooh, that's a good one.
Sorry, I didn't mean to stump
you. No, I love stumpy questions. I love this time. You know, I think you'll hear in the next few episodes, this is kind of a little tease. In the next few episodes, we dig into some things that I don't think I was fully aware of. Mm. We dig into some stuff from her past that I knew was part of her life, but I didn't really understand how it was being handled in her adulthood. And it gives, I think, the listeners it kind of rounds out the whole story and gives you some understanding. So yeah, actually there was some info that I'll use it as a tease.
Yeah.
You have to listen to find out.
Yes. Ooh. Yes.
And that's fantastic. Cool.
You have such a good voice. Hey, did you hear that?
No.
You have to listen to find out. It's so
that's my sex
professional.
Remember sex phone? Like, no, don't. Wait, you guys are younger.
30.
You guys are young. 30.
You're no, you're old. Not.
I remember sex phone stuff. I just remember like watching stuff about it on MTV.
Like, call 1-800 do 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 do. Mm-hmm. Like, hi, this is Monica.
Yeah.
Give us your credit card. We'll have a conversation. We should bring that back.
I'm sure it still exists out there somewhere, right?
Yeah, Iowa or something. like they're a few years behind everybody. This has been such a pleasure talking to you, really. Truly loved listening to the podcast.
Thank you. And thanks for being interested and having me on. And like, you know, just Molly's story is so important. And the more people that get to listen to it, the better. And podcasts like yours, where I get to like tap into your beautiful, awesome, kick-ass audience. So I'm just saying, if anybody out there feels like, ooh, this may not be my cup of tea, I think there's something in this podcast for everyone. And I think if you're a little worried about the sex part, I say, just put that aside and try to just listen to the friendship and the connection and the journey that Molly's going on.
I don't think you have to worry about that with our listeners. Our listeners are pretty like ready for
they
it.
Dirty.
They dirty. Y'all nasty. Y'all nasty, huh?
Right?
Yeah.
They're the best.
Can you plug like whatever, anywhere you want people to find you?
Yeah, thank
all
you.
Of that stuff.
Oh my God, I love that. So I'd love for you to follow me on Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff. It's just at Nikki Boyer. And that's NikkiBoyer. And then to find the podcast, it's really easy. So I set up a cheesy little website. It's just Dying for Sex Podcast. So whether you have an Android or an iPhone, it'll take you to where you need to go.
Perfect.
And then I would love like to rate and review it. Like I listen, I go through those reviews and I see what people say. My favorite are the 1-star reviews. Those are my favorite. They're so mean.
People are so upset.
I love them. I'm like, oh, I love this. But rate it and review it and really tell us what you think and share it with friends and your family. And just, it's funny. There's a lot of single dudes out there that are gravitating towards this podcast, which is not what I expected.
Yeah.
So single dudes, pass it on to your friends. I think you could learn a little something. But yeah, that's how you find me.
Oh, amazing. Yay. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. You guys, can I come back?
Of course.
I don't know what else I'll talk about, but I'm going to come back.
Oh, we'll find some stuff.
We love talking. This is awesome.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I could have talked to Nikki for forever.
I would like to have her in my apartment so I can have a sleepover.
I know. Yeah. You guys have to go check out Dying for Sex. It really is a fantastic podcast.
Yes.
So well produced, too. It's like listening to an audiobook. It's high quality.
Incredible.
Incredibles. Incredibles.
Incredibles.
Incredibles. Increds.
Hashtag Increds.
I was saying incredible storytelling, but it came out. Plural incredible. So we have an iTunes review of the episode. This is from Miss Teen Noel. My driving best friends. I love listening to them and laughing out loud. They are amazing. Oh, thank you.
That's so sweet.
That is so sweet. Thank you, seriously, for taking time to leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes.
Yeah, it really helps us so much. It helps other people discover the show and then, you know, maybe get some of the information that they're looking for when it comes to self-help and self-improvement and mental health. And yeah, it's awesome. Thank you for leaving or, you know, taking the time to do that. And just takes the click of a button.
It really does.
You just
click that 5th star
and submit.
And then we move up the charts.
Yes.
It's how you can help us for free.
Yes. So, for free.
If you would like to, that's super great. We have some segments.
We sure do.
I have a defuck.
Let's hear about it, Kelsey.
I've been meaning to share this defuck for a little bit because it actually happened like 3 weeks ago. This is when I was at Tacoma for shows. And one of the nights, it wasn't one of the nights I was headlining. It was, well, I was headlining, but it was for the Dope show. So I wasn't like, I wasn't billed. Mm-hmm. So when that happens, you know, sometimes there's people who come to the show that aren't coming there to see you. Like, yeah, they don't know what to expect or whatever. So the show was great. Had so much fun. I love that show. And afterward, as I was standing in the merch line, this guy walked by me and he goes, "I actually liked you." And he said it like he was, so shocked,
yeah,
that he found me funny.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't believe that still in this day and age, guys feel like that's a compliment, mm-hmm, to tell me, "Hey, I actually liked you."
Yeah. No, it's basically saying, "Hey, you know, I believe most women are garbage in so many ways, but you know, you're all right." Like, it's such a backhanded compliment that I feel like, I mean, every woman in comedy has gotten multiple times over and over again. And it's
so many times.
You'll be standing right next to a guy and they'll just say, "Oh, that was really funny. Great set." And then they'll get to you and it'll be like, "Huh, you know, I don't really like female lady comedians, but wow, you really got me going." And I was like, "Okay, can't you just say great set to me too? And that you thought I was funny?"
Yeah, it made me, I mean, I wanted to punch him in the face, but I also was just kind of laughing to myself at how just shocked he seemed. Like, he blew his own brain. He's like, "I actually liked you." okay.
Like, he's almost disappointed.
Yeah, like, I really fucked up.
You tricked me with your lady parts.
I just had to share that. Just again, if you're listening, and I get women say that to me too. Yes. I've had women come up and
of
be
course.
Like,
"Yeah,
I saw you when you walked on stage," and I was like, "Oh my god, she's pretty and she's gonna suck. Like, it's not gonna be funny." But then you were actually so funny, and it's like, just don't say any of the backhanded shit. So, men or women listening, if you're at a comedy show and you like somebody, maybe somebody surprised you,
right?
Just say you liked their set.
Yeah.
Don't say, "I actually..."
Right.
"I was shocked, but I ended up finding you funny." It's like,
"I was really rooting against you."
Yeah.
"I was really hoping to watch you fail miserably."
"I really hate fucking you with my eyes when you walked on stage, but then..." Gave me a couple chuckles. I'm like, it's just why? Anyway.
Man, you guys.
That's my PSA.
Yeah. No, I think it's a good one. I think it's a good one. My defuck is Maverick got really sick recently. We had to take him to the vet. This just happened yesterday. He's kind of had a little bit of a cough and diarrhea. And he was like,
buddy,
he had blood in his poop and stuff. I got so freaked out. So We took him to the vet and we're still waiting on all the results and stuff, but he's doing much better. But that was like our first big like scare with him. And oh my God, I've been to the vet twice now, waiting, you know, for like 4 hours each time. And I'm like, oh my God, how do people do this with like real human children? You know what I mean? Not that fur babies are not real. They're very real. But like, how do people handle this kind of stress with a human baby that is sick? It's horrible. It's horrible.
I can't communicate to you what's going on.
No, it's so terrible. And so, yeah, that was really shitty. And you know what's so funny is when I first got Maverick, one of the first things I did was get us pet health insurance. That's the first thing I did was get Maverick insured. And I got so much shit for this from people that was so ridiculous and over the top and oh my God, it's just a dog, blah blah blah. Well, guess who laughing now, bitches? Because that vet bill is like $1,500 and we're only paying for like $125 of it.
Really?
So get your pet insured, people, because you don't want it to come down to, oh, do I save my animal or do I go into $8,000 of debt or something for a surgery? God. Like, you want to be able to make it so they have the care that they need. And, you know, I'm just really happy that I stuck to my guns and didn't let that, you know, any of the outside noise interfere, because everybody was like, "Oh yeah, the crazy vegans getting dog insurance." You know what I mean? And I'm like, "That's right." So, you know, here we are, like not even a year later,
yeah,
or a year later, and he's needing $1,500 worth of vet bills.
How
and much that's going to be more, actually, when we go to his like primary vet, because they want to take a look at him, too.
Oh, how much have you paid every month for the insurance?
It's been $50 a month, and it just went up to 60.
Okay.
And so
what's the math on that?
Right. $50 a month for 12 months, $600 is for a year. So
yeah, you still ended up paying less than.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm paying less.
It's that gamble. I guess that's what
of course.
All insurance is.
And here's the thing. No, I'm assuming if you don't have pet insurance, you're not putting $50 away every month to a pet fund for when this has happened to you.
Good point.
Right? Yeah. You're just saying, oh, it's not an expense. And then when it does happen, you're like, holy shit, what am I going to do? How am I going to get $1,500 to get my pet the care it needs? And so I did all that math. I'm like, well, maybe I'll just start my own fund where $50 a month or $60 a month go into like a Maverick fund. I'm like, realistically, we're not going to do that. That's just not going to happen. And so I need the insurance, and it ended up working out really great. So I'm really glad I have that. I have Healthy Paws if anybody wants to check them out. That's who I have with Maverick. And So that happened, and we just had to kind of drop him off for like his x-rays and blood work and stuff. And it was terrible not being able to like be right next to him. And so Cam and I made the most of it, and we decided to like walk down to the farmer's market that was happening next to the emergency vet place. And we ended up just getting like nice bread and olive oil and some like plant-based cheeses and just like some little goodies. And we're like, okay, well, let's just try to make the most out of a shit day. And so we ended up having like a spontaneous day date, and then had like a little spread when we got home that like made us feel a little bit better.
Aww.
So yeah, my defuck/decent shit segment.
Well, and then my cautionary tale with that of not having pet health insurance, which I don't think I've told this story on the podcast before, but when we adopted Griffey like 6-7 years ago, you know, we got him from the Humane Society or one of those shelter places where it's like $75 to adopt him. So we adopt this sweet little kitten. We're thinking, yeah, we can, it's $75, we can afford that.
Right.
And then within 48 hours of having him at home, we didn't realize that he was the type of kitten that would just like eat objects, like non-food items.
Oh no.
And we under the bed had kept some like Christmas wrapping ribbon and some Valentine's Day wrapping ribbon things, and he started throwing up a bunch within 2 days of having him at home. And then he threw up ribbon.
Holy shit.
But then he was still like, he kept kind of dry heaving, and so we took him to the vet and they did an x-ray on his stomach, and you could see he had eaten Valentine's tinsel, and you could see the word love.
Oh my God, are you kidding me? Oh my God, are you kidding me? Oh my God.
He ate this decorative Valentine's tinsel that had like, foil hearts and the foil word love in it. You could see it in his stomach.
Oh my God.
And they were like, okay, so, you know, there's a chance he passes this just through his stool and it's normal. Or there's a chance that this gets wrapped up in his intestines and like he dies immediately.
Oh my God.
So $1,500 later.
Oh man.
He had to have a stomach surgery to get it taken out.
Oh my God.
But like we weren't prepared for that financially, and it had to go on this like, you know, pet credit card that let us make these payments or whatever. But it just, never know.
Yeah.
And I get that like, okay, say you have pet insurance for 5 years and you're paying $50 a month and nothing ever happens to your pet. Well, that is a lot of money. But if something comes up and you don't have it,
oof.
It just was like the irony. Like we're like, oh, we can get this little kitten for $75. And then within a weekend, $1,500.
Oh my God, dude.
Because he eats things like a black lab.
Oh my God.
You know how
God.
Like giant dogs just like eat socks?
Yeah.
This tiny little kitten just like munching on wrapping paper. We're like, what the fuck are you doing?
That's crazy. Yeah.
So.
Oh my gosh. I can't believe you were able to see the word love.
I know.
And Griffey's okay now. So
he's
good.
All good.
He's all good.
Healthy boy. But yeah.
Jeez. Yeah. You know, it just makes me feel better mentally to have it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
It makes me feel much better.
So this comes out on Monday, March 9th. I'm at the Rec Room in Huntington Beach this Friday, for those of you kind of in the LA area. I'm headlining Go Bananas in Cincinnati, March 19th through the 22nd. I'm in New York City, the 23rd through the 25th. Grand Rapids at Dr. Grin's Comedy Club, April 9th through the 11th. Nashville, the girls and I were going to be at Zany's for a comedy festival there. So our helpsters, you want to come see us in Nashville. That's where we're going to be Saturday, April 18th. And then May 7th through the 9th at Spokane Comedy Club. So whew, that was a mouthful. KelseyCook.com for her tickets. I'm on the road a bunch, so come see me.
That's fantastic. And my my quick announcement, you guys, my Thriving Artist course is officially available. I know it's been a long road, and I've put a lot of work into it, and I did a complete test run with a group of Thriving Artist students that were amazing. And so if you guys are new to the podcast and you're hearing about this for the first time, I own a business called Dick's by Delaney, and it's a business I launched that enabled me to leave my day job to do it full time. And in this course, I basically show you step by step how to build, brand, launch, and market a product-based business.
The whole shebang.
Whether you want to just make some extra side cash or vacation money, or whether you want to like lay the groundwork for it to be a part-time or full-time job, this is a course you can work through at your own pace. It's video modules. You don't have to like sign up for specific dates with me or anything. It's work at it however you want. The feedback I'm getting is that this course is doable to finish in 8 weeks if you have a full-time job, give or take. But that really just depends on how much time you have to like devote to it. And so it just walks you through, you know, picking a product and branding and packaging. And it's so many unconventional strategies that I've had to implement in my own business with Dick's by Delaney because, well, Dick's is in the name, you guys. I'm not like a big mainstream brand.
Yeah.
And I basically show you how you can be successful without having to do it the way that everybody else is doing it.
Right.
And it's very simple. I'm not a tech savvy person. So, you know, it's going to be baby steps and simplified with this approach. So if this is something that you are interested in, I'm doing a little something special to celebrate the launch. And because Instagram disabled my frickin' account, I was going to announce it on there, but Instagram. I'm just going to announce it here instead. The first 10 people, the next 10 people to sign up for this course, you will get $30 off the entire course by using the code SELFHELPLESS. All one word, no space, no slash or dash or whatever. And that's just going to be a first come, first serve basis.
Yeah.
So you can go to DelaneyFisher.com, click the course section. It'll take you right there. And it'll just be for the first 10 people who get it. And you can get it now and work on it whenever you would like. So if you're planning on getting it in the future, you can get it now for $30 off. And that is a limited offer that I am giving you to celebrate this crazy little thing.
Yay.
And just a heads up, you will know, maybe you are have kind of looked into business courses before. A lot of business courses are between $1,000 to $2,000. I have not seen a business course that is less than that.
Yeah.
My course is $297. I have made
You
guys, I made this accessible for a reason because I know what it's like to be in that place where you are nervous to spend money and invest in yourself. And I wanted this to be as accessible as possible. And to be honest, it's worth way more than that. And I can say that confidently because I've made a living doing it. So check it out, guys. Obviously, I'm very passionate about it. Love it. Love it. And I just want to help you make shit happen. Okay. That's it for me.
We are so proud of you.
Thank you.
A little afraid, but mostly proud.
Kelsey's mostly afraid now.
All right, you guys. Thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you guys next week.
Bye-bye.
Thank you guys so much for listening to Self Helpless. We love you guys so much. There are a few different ways you can support our show. You can leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. It really helps us move up the charts. You can also tell a friend about the show, post it on social media, and you can join our Patreon. It's where you can get bonus episodes from us and lots of really fun content and ways to interact with the show. That's at patreon.com/selfhelpless. And if you go to selfhelplesspodcast.com, that's where you can get links to all of our individual stuff. Delaney, where can people find you?
You can find me at DelaneyFisher.com. You can find the online courses there, one-on-one creative consulting, watch my comedy special, and find Dick's by Delaney there.
Perfect. Tay, where can people find you?
You can find me on ttomcomedy.com for tour dates and links to everything else social media-wise. I am at Taylor Tomlinson on Twitter and Instagram.
perfect. You guys can find me at kelseycook.com for all my tour dates. My Instagram is at kelseycookcomedy. Twitter is at kelseycook. Please be sure to watch my foosball web series on YouTube called Wrists of Fury. I've had Delaney and Taylor on together. It was such a fun episode. And you can download and buy my album Savor It on iTunes, Spotify, anywhere you find comedy albums. We also want to give a shout out to our amazing producer, Lauren Mahoney, and our amazing editor, Emma Erdbrink. We love you guys, and we will talk to you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
What would you do if you were given just a few years to live? I know, that's a tough one. I'll wait. Would you travel the world and visit all those places you always hoped to see? Or maybe spend more time with the people you love? Or maybe you'd finish a project that never got started? My friend Molly had a list.
I'd love my book to be done. I would love to find someone to fall in love with. But, like, I might run out of time before any of that stuff happens.
I'm Nikki Boyer, and when my best friend Molly was diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer, she decided to do something bold. She left her husband of 15 years and embarked on a series of crazy sexual escapades.
Like, I literally wanted to hump everything and everyone that I saw. Like, I was horny all the time.
We thought her stories were so interesting, we decided to put them on tape.
We like go inside his house, and then he's like trying to get me to tickle him, and I'm like, okay, and like then I kind of realize I'm being backed into a tickle fetish. You know I'm cold,
you know it, don't you? From the people behind Shrink Next Door, Dirty John, and The Moment comes Dying for Sex, a new podcast about feeling alive in the face of a terminal diagnosis.
But at the time it was like, hey, fine, come over. What are you gonna do? You know, kill me? I'm dying.
And making human connections on a primal level.
So we're fooling around, you know, we have some fun over the clothes, and then she wants my pants off. As a gentleman, I oblige.
And in the face of all that, what it means to be a friend.
You're one of those people that makes me wanna live.
Oh, yeah. I love you. Okay, let's get back to the sex.
Okay. You know what glow, you see it, don't you?
I'm so cold. Dying for Sex premieres February 12th on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this right now.
Like, you should all apply to date me.
Wait, would you really be open to that?
Yeah. Well, if you're commitment phobic, I'm your girl.